Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. I wonder why that's, you know, if there's no collusion here in the NFL, I wonder if what Key just said is, you know, if you want to be charitable to the owners, generous in spirit, and say, well, they're not actually colluding. One of the things that may be cooling the market is what Key just said. Nobody gets rid of a prime quarterback, a great quarterback in the prime of their careers. So either they think, look, they're just going to sign him back no matter what. Let's not waste our time. Or they think, well, why is he even available? Right? What do they know that we don't know? Why are they making him available?
Is it not colluding just if there is a general sense among owners that we're not going to allow quarterbacks to reset
the
market?
Yeah, exactly. Collusion's got to be communication.
Well, you got to realize, though, too, that when you know that the Ravens aren't going to let him go out, right? You know they're not going to do it. No one gets – this isn't Jay Cutler we're talking about, leaving Denver for Chicago. And this is not that. This is a totally different situation. So if I step out and I want to sign Lamar to an offer sheet, I now have to absorb whatever that cap number is that messes up my cap in the middle of free agency and before the draft. I eat up whatever that number is. Now I can't sign anybody.
You're frozen. Yeah.
I am basically frozen. Yeah. Until.
So if you don't believe you're going to get them, why do it?
So why even do it?
Yeah, well, listen, so what you're pointing to is maybe it's not collusion. Maybe it is. But if it's not, maybe it's just that the structure that the league put in place to suppress – well, to not suppress salaries because it's capped anyway. It doesn't matter what you pay the quarterback. You have a certain amount of money you beyond which you can't spend. So it's designed to control players, right, and control player movement. Mm-hmm. And it's working.
So this whole notion that when Deshaun Watson signed that 230 guaranteed that the floodgates are going to open, doesn't seem like that's the case, does it?
Well, we don't know what's going to happen here yet.
It's like, different, Jay. It depends on how you look at it. You're right. Deshaun Watson's situation is unique.
Exactly.
Because the Houston Texans did not want to move on from Deshaun. He wanted to move on from them. And then when everything started happening in his personal life, it got crazy. And so now the Texans are like, yeah, we gotta do something with this. And originally he was going to go to Atlanta. And then he came back around and Cleveland said, we need a quarterback so bad, we're willing to do whatever it takes to get to trump the Atlanta Falcons. So essentially, he was a free agent, mm-hmm. even though he was under contract with the Houston Texans and they got compensation for him. He was somewhat basically a free agent. There was a handful of teams that was courting his services. Think about that. In this situation with Lamar, there's the salary cap eating up the salary cap space so you can't sign other guys. And you know that the Baltimore Ravens are not trying to give him away or lose him.
No, that's a good point. With Deshaun Watson, you didn't have to freeze your cap.
You'd have to freeze
the whole.
It.
That's a really good point. And that's a big difference that I haven't considered until you just said that. If I were Lamar Jackson, the more I think about it, I wouldn't do a thing. And I certainly wouldn't play, even if I had to sit out a year. Mm-hmm. Because you don't want to be the first one to the table. Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts. Everyone's coming up right now. So if I'm Lamar, I'm like, no. This is what we'll do. We'll let these guys get paid first since y'all don't want to pay me anyway. And apparently there'll be no offer sheet. I'm not just going to take your arbitrary, we think you're worth this offer. Let's see what Joe Burrow gets. Let's see what Jalen Hurts gets. Let's see what Justin Herbert gets. Then we'll talk.
Why wouldn't you take
I can almost
deal?
Guarantee y'all, both mm-hmm. of y'all, I found my right arm, so I got it again. I can bet y'all my right arm that a guy like Jalen Hurts is going to get crazy guaranteed money. Crazy guaranteed money.
Like, what's crazy
top?
Guaranteed money? What's that
Two.
Mean? Two?
Close to $200 million. You know, 185, 190, something like
Kyler
that.
Kyler Murray got 189.
I think Kyler was it 180 or 160
guaranteed?
Something?
I think he got 160 guaranteed.
Was it 160? I thought it was
a lot. That's what I do know.
But maybe you're right.
But what I was going to say is the difference in Deshaun's deal is the 5 years that's on his contract is fully guaranteed.
160 guaranteed. 160 for Kyler.
Well, so it's 160. So he'll get 180. Mm-hmm. Call it 180. Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts' deal won't be a four-year 180. It'll be a 180 guaranteed in the first 3 years, first 4 years on like a seven-year pack, which forget the last 3 years.
He'll be up again. Rhea,
just
do it
forget
again.
The last 3 years.
Just go. And like I think what Mahomes when you did, say, Jay, again.
Yep. When you say, Jay, they want the fully guaranteed money. The fully guaranteed money is the first couple years that the money is guaranteed.
You package it up different ways. You're
forget
exactly right.
The last 3 years or the 2 years and all. I want the money that's guaranteed to me in the first part of my contract.
That's fine, the way but whatever that number is going to look be, at. But whatever that number is going to be, it's going to be higher after Hurts and Burrow and Herbert and all these dudes get paid. So if I'm Lamar, I'm not in a rush to get back to the Ravens, right? Oh, well, we'll give you this three-year deal and we'll guarantee you 146. No, I'm good. I might sit out a year.
Well, Mike Tannenbaum,
by the way, he's been hurt a little recently. It might do him some good to sit out a
year. Mike Tannenbaum came on our show last hour and said that he would look to give him a three-year $120 million deal. And I scoffed at that.
Yeah, no. I think Mike's just throwing the numbers out there. But it's more like a 3 year. He would probably be north of Aaron Rodgers, which is 50. Aaron is about 50 on an average, 50 and some change. I would probably push Lamar up to 55. So right. What is that?
365.
It's 165.
That sounds right. Three years, $165.
Yeah, 3 years, $165.
That's a difference in what Mike T said. If he's throwing out numbers, he's a GM. I would scoff at
that. Yeah, but I think Mike was just saying it, though. He wasn't – because in no way, that's less than Kyler Murray. That's less than Russell Wilson. That's less than Aaron Rodgers. There's no way – if Lamar ain't going to sign for the 133, why would he sign for 120?
But I'm going if they say 165 over three, that might get it done, right? Because he's going to go back into that
And part of that 165 over three, you cannot franchise tag me.
Right. You get certain things.
And I don't, in the no trade clause, and we can get that deal done. Because you're going to see me in 24 months anyway. Because I'm going to light the NFL ass up, and you're going to come back at me with another $300-400 million. That's the way I would look at it, NBA-like.
Hey, Brent in Tacoma has something to say.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, Brent?
Hey, look, so here's my question is, for Lamar, what's more important? I mean, if you're sitting here looking at these two mountains you're going to climb that you want to get accomplished, is, one, do you want to get one of these contracts that Kyler Murray's got and Russell Wilson's got on your own without an agent, because that's precedent setting? Or are you trying to go get a higher deal than Deshaun Watson? But I think it's got to be one of the two, because you can't accomplish both.
You don't think he can get the Deshaun Watson money without an agent?
I don't. And if he does think he can do that, I mean, I would love to hear why he thinks that. I mean, he must see a chink in the armor from afar that he thinks there's a soft spot that I can penetrate this from and maybe get this deal done. But I just think he's got to prove at some point, admit at some point.
I don't know that he's
I don't see this working out the way.
The interesting thing, Brent, is I don't know, and I don't think any of us know, if he's really truly trying to get a Deshaun Watson deal. We don't know that. We don't know that at all. I know we assume that based on Deshaun signing and what they did with Deshaun in Lamar's situation, so we put them together, and we just automatically assume he wants the same type of deal and better. Maybe he wants a four-year deal, $200 million fully guaranteed. Maybe he wants $250 over 3 years. We don't know what the real number is.
That's right. But to the other point, that he needs an agent, Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, was on the show a little while ago, and he agrees with Brent. Listen.
You may not need an agent, but boy, I think he needs one right now. And that tweet was a good example of it. He deserves to get paid by any metrics, his age, his accomplishments, his character, on field, off field. And it's disappointing that it's had us to go to Twitter. And if I'm Baltimore, I am still trying to get a long-term deal done. And to me, when I look at this, guys, I see a compromise, roughly about $123 to $125 million, fully guaranteed on a three-year deal, much the way Kirk Cousins signed a fully guaranteed deal when he left Washington and went to Minnesota 5 years ago.
Yeah, I think he's basing that. Well, first of all, he says he needs it. I don't think Lamar goes to an agent because if he goes to an agent and gets a deal, it's going to make him look bad.
He's telling it from such a GM perspective. You hear him, Key? He's so disappointed.
Oh, my goodness. I'm surprised you didn't say go to Miami to save taxes.
Our ears work at the same stuff, Key.
But wait till Jay.
It's disappointing he had to go to social media.
But wait till Jay. He doesn't have an agent, so he went to social media. How many dudes you know got agents that go to social media?
Everybody.
But in the negotiation.
Everybody.
But he's doing this.
Even dudes that got agents, Max, even dudes that got agents will tweet out whatever it is. Huh?
Kyler did.
Exactly. So there you go. Kyler got an agent, and what did he say? Bump this, I need my money. So it doesn't. It doesn't matter if you got an agent as far as that stuff goes. Guys going to do what they're going to do. The agent works for you. You don't work for the agent.
B in Vermont. You're on KJM.
Hey, Keyshawn, listen. I think he should get paid more than the guy in Seattle. You know what I mean?
What guy
in
Seattle?
They put him down for $45 million. Geno Smith.
Oh, he should get.
They're not paying.
But Geno's not.
He should get more than Geno Smith.
Yeah, no.
Geno Smith is getting 45.
Yeah, but he's getting a fake 45. That ain't even a real 45. That's an average.
Oh, you think it's fake?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, 100%.
I wouldn't even
It's about the guaranteed money, B. It's about the guaranteed money in the first part of the deal. Cincinnati, Seattle can get out of that deal after next season if they choose to do so.
It's $27.3 million fully guaranteed at signing. It's nowhere.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's not. That. He's got the offer yesterday. The offer on the non-exclusive franchise tag is like that.
Yeah.
You know?
That it sounds cute.
At the top of the market.
Yeah. It sounds cute. $45 million. It's like, well, hold on, man. I know about the fake numbers because my average looked a certain way, and it wasn't no damn way I was averaging that. Right? Get that money. It wasn't happening.
You know who came up with all these numbers and the fake numbers was Jerry Jones. Because he got, once he got the salary cap through, he needed to figure out a way to finagle Deion Sanders under the cap and came out with the prorated, if you extend it this many years, that's where it all started. How a coach who almost quit has his team on the cusp of a national championship. You're going to hear from him coming up. KJM.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Florida Atlantic, FAU, fantastic!
Feels amazing. You know, this is a group of guys that just love to work, you know, love to compete.
Awesome!
The ninth team seated ninth or lower to reach the Final Four.
Unreal! Dusty Mays Owls are going to the Final Four!
You rely on faith, you believe it's going to happen, but you never really know.
Sound courtesy of Westwood One NCAA Radio Network.
Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance and joined now by Florida Atlantic head coach.
We playing Rick Ross for Dusty.
Dusty,
that's what we're doing.
May, ladies and gentlemen. Morning, coach.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing good, well, Dusty. Doing well. Congrats on everything.
I appreciate it. It's been a wild ride.
I can imagine. Before we get into your team, I read a story about how you wanted to quit hours after accepting the job in 2018. Can you tell us a story about that moment?
Yeah, I'll give you the quick version. So we come in the night before, and I was at a great spot at the University of Florida for Coach White. We had a really good team coming back. My kids were in high school and junior high. I was tired of moving, and I just kind of on a whim said, you know what, I'm going to go check it out just to make sure. My wife and I drove down to Boca. We got kicked off on A1A. in Delray Beach. And if you've been to Delray Boca area, you know what that's like. So we're driving, and we fall in love with the area. That evening, we met with some important people, loved the people, had a great feel. And then the next morning, we go meet with the board, the president. And by noon, they'd offered me a contract. And I'm impulsive anyway. I kind of just go with my gut. It's how I live. And I signed. I called my wife, and she was somewhere else. And I said, hey, they want me to sign the contract. What do you think? And she said, it's up to you. You know, I trust your instincts. So I signed the contract. We are on campus. Our campus is amazing. Then we come over to the basketball facilities. And there was almost like a pickup game was going on with some of the players and some random dudes. And it wasn't a very good pickup game. The facilities were – it was a mess at that point because the AD had just gotten hired. Everything was in transition. And then we go to the weight room, the locker room, and everything, and realize that at that point we had JUCO facility, you know, bad JUCO facilities, and just all that rolled into one. I just thought it was too hard of a job; I wouldn't be able to get it done. So yeah, I actually broke down into tears, told my wife I'm not good enough, and here we are.
And now you're in the Final Four. You know, Dusty, it's crazy about these runs because these storylines become bigger and bigger and bigger, and everybody tries to own a smaller piece of you, right? So my wife, obviously, is from Indiana, and she was like, well, did you know that he was a former Bobby Knight student manager at IU? And, you know, I didn't even know if Key knows this, and you were administrative assistant at USC, and then you go back to IU.
You knocked us out of the Final Four. It was that Elite Eight game. I was on that staff.
You were on that staff?
I was on that staff, yeah.
Wow, yeah, I got hot that game. How was it was a good game. You guys had a hell of a team that year too. How was your time at IU with Bobby Knight? Like, what are some of the principles that you learned there, and obviously you carry along with your team today at FAU?
Well, obviously, just with his presence and his standards, you're on your toes and you're thinking ahead and anticipating and problem solving at all times. Because if you don't have the answer before the question, then you're probably going to get an earful. And so it makes everyone better. Obviously, the times have changed, and people are different now. But I had an unbelievable experience. It was like, you know, being in a master's coaching class where you're taking notes every single day. You're working 40 to 80 hours a week just trying to learn and grow.
Coach, tell us a little bit about Michael Forrest and what he's meant to the program so far.
Well, Mike was the guy who was our first signee here. He's a local kid, and he was my first call after I got the job. I called him and said, Mike, would you be interested in coming over and checking out FAU? And he said, I don't know, maybe. And I said, don't you live 5 minutes away? At least come over and check it out. And he said, let me check with my parents. So that was kind of our start. But he's a guy that he started as a point guard as a freshman. We brought him off the bench. We moved him to two guard as a sophomore. We brought him off the bench as a senior. As a junior, he started again as a senior, and now this year he's coming off the bench as a sixth man. So he's just one of those guys. He's got an engineering degree. He's had a great career, but he just does whatever the team needs. His minutes have been cut. His shots have been cut to the lowest point of his career, but he's just bought into winning and leaving a legacy.
Dusty May, Florida Atlantic head coach, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Dusty, I got to ask you this. You just told us that riveting story about how you didn't believe that you were good enough before you became the head coach of FAU. And have you pinched yourself yet, man? Like, just like a human-to-human moment here. Did you ever
– you know, when we landed –
did you ever in your mind or in the world believe that your team would have a chance to compete for a Final Four, yet alone somebody's coming out between you and SDS, you and San Diego State, and have a chance to have a compete for a national championship game? I can't even get the words out of my mouth. It's that exciting.
Well, it's happened twice. When we landed back in Boca, I was technically West Palm Sunday night or Saturday, whatever we landed. I'm sorry, it's a blur. And I just looked over my wife and my three boys were with us, and I just said, "Are we really going to be playing in Houston, Texas, Saturday in the Final Four? That's really what we're doing next?" Because as coaches, it's always what's next, the next recruit, the next cycle, whatever the case. And she just kind of smiled and said, "Yeah, it's real." And so there's been a couple of those moments, but it's like that for 5 seconds, and then you're moving on to the next thing.
So let's talk about the next thing. What's going to be the key for your offense against that San Diego State defense?
Well, if you drive bad spacing, they're taking the ball, so we can't have any live ball turnovers. But we've got to generate big gaps. We've got to cut. Just do what we do, except do it a little bit better because of their physicality, and they can guard the ball. That's really unique where they keep it out of the lane and they defend the three-point line so well. So It's a tough defense, a very well coached team. So, you know, we're accustomed to playing any style that we feel like we'll be able to make it a game, whether it's up and down or grind it out.
Dusty, you guys embracing the nickname the Beach Boys? Is it there yet, or are you trying to push that away?
No, actually, it's a running joke. Another coach said that about our guys, and they took it personal. These guys take everything personal. It's what makes them great. And they called us. They said then they let it fly. They're down there by the beach. They're kind of like the Beach Boys, you know. And so they took that as he was calling us soft. Well, we may have spun it that way a little bit, but so we've kind of adopted the mantra: we're the Beach Boys on offense, but we're Pit Bulls on defense.
Ooh,
so the guys have had fun with it.
I like that.
Dusty May, ladies and gentlemen, FAU head coach, deep in this tournament. Few more hurdles to go. Best of luck, coach.
Good luck to you, Dusty.
Thank you, guys. Big fan here.
All right, that's amazing.
Thank you, coach. Yeah.
Wow. I completely forgot about that. He was administrative assistant at USC, Sam Clancy, and had a hell of a squad that year that we got a chance to win it.
You played college ball? Because he just said you played pretty well.
Beat them in the Sweet 16.
Wow. Never knew that about you.
Yeah. Shocking.
Amazing.
Continue to learn things about me each day.
Yes, and you were good, apparently.
I was fairly decent. Key and I were decent athletes.
Matter of fact,
don't
someone told
talk
me,
about me. I
don't talk about me.
Don't talk about me. I don't need people to know anything about my career.
Jay was top 14 point guard? Wow. On what? What do you mean? Out of like what? The college basketball season is winding down, and that means the Wendy's Wooden Watch has begun. Go to ESPN.com, search Wooden Watch for the list of the Wooden Award nominees to watch as this season rolls on. The Wendy's Wooden Watch is brought to you by Wendy's. Two for $6, the best deal in fast food.
Watch this tease coming up, Jay. Go ahead, Max.
Speaking of... Lamar Jackson. Give us your top landing spot for Lamar Jackson. 888-SAY-ESPN. How's that? Is that simple enough for you?
That's good. I like that.
No, I was expecting something different, but that's okay. Based on our guest that's coming up.
Yeah. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
I do believe, no matter what Lamar Jackson is saying right now about he wants to be traded, at the end of the day, I strongly believe that he'll be wearing that purple and black uniform come September.
Pay me my money if you love me.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max were presented by Progressive Insurance. Hey, you can give us your top landing spot for Lamar Jackson. Call us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. We're joined now by three-time Super Bowl champ, Devin McCourty. Morning.
What up,
morning,
Dev?
Man, y'all got that good intro music.
Come on, man.
Y'all doing it over here.
We don't play around on this show.
Every segment. By the way, yeah, listen. I remember the original, though. You know, I have to mention that every time.
Every single time.
Yeah, I rule the
rule. Every time we hear the song, you mention
true.
The original.
Sure, I remember the original. It's not a lie. How surprised? Like, what'd you think about Lamar requesting a trade from the Ravens?
I wasn't surprised. I mean, as a player, you're on a team. The whole thought is, I'm going to do what I have to do to get to free agency. I want to get paid, get to free agency. So the feeling for if I'm Lamar, I'm like, if they wanted me here, this deal would have been done. It's not done. Let's see if somebody else wants to do this deal. So trade me. Let me see what my value is somewhere else. So I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah, you, me and you as players, we think that way, but I also think at times, like a front office executive, as an owner, general manager, so to speak, I'm not trading Lamar Jackson. Why would I do that? Set myself back 15 years and get fired? What I'm going to make him do is sit and wait and see if he could hold out as long as possible, into a point where we come to some sort of agreement in the summertime that makes sense for both sides, which for me, he deserves to get every single dime. He should be the highest paid quarterback because he's next in line, but that probably won't happen till the summertime. If, in fact, somebody out there, a team, decides to go against what the Ravens want to do and give him the money he's looking for and give up the two first-round picks, Devin, which team could you see doing that?
I see a team like Indy. You know, I think, you know, I saw earlier today, Irsay said yesterday the money wouldn't be a problem. The guaranteed contract would be a problem. And I think that's going to be every team. You know, I think every owner in this league is about the NFL. They're about what they call the shield. They want to see the league improve. They want to see all of those things more than, you know, the individual team. And I'm sure they were all angry at Haslam for giving Deshaun Watson that contract. But I see a team like Indy, if the contract could be worked out, I think they understand, you know, you would have an opportunity to get a franchise quarterback right now. They don't have to go through the whole rebuild. Am I drafting the right guy? Is he going to fit? You kind of fast track to having a quarterback, and now you get to build right away.
They're not taking the remains of Phillip Rivers or something like that.
Yeah,
they're getting
like
a
they've
dude
done that
prime.
The last few years. Yeah.
So Devin, when you say he doesn't, the money's not an issue, right? We all know the money's not an issue. The guarantee on a fully guaranteed deal is an issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's say we do a 7-year deal, but in the first 4 years of that 7-year deal, he gets $240 million guaranteed with $150 due at signing. Is that basically the same as giving him a fully guaranteed deal? Or does he need all 7 years guaranteed opposed to the $240-plus million that I'm giving him so he could pass Deshaun on the guaranteed side?
I'm McCourty, Lamar Jackson's agent. Go ahead.
Listen, I played 13 years. That's how all my contracts were. You know, you looked at the first 3 years, what the guarantee was. That's how you did a contract. Now, I'm very interested. Is Lamar Jackson now saying, I want to change the landscape of the NFL and quarterbacks? I want to be a part of that. I was a part of the NFLPA for, I think, 6 years, 7 years of my career. That is the talks. Like everyone says, football, we need guaranteed contracts. They go and they throw D. Smith out there. You need to get us. D. Smith's not the guy that can get guaranteed contracts. The next executive director of the NFLPA won't get guaranteed contracts. The only people who can do that are the quarterbacks, and it's the best quarterback. So I'm interested, does Lamar Jackson draw a line in the sand and say, I'm not moving off this? And then after that, does Joe Burrow do it? Does Justin Herbert do it?
That changes the whole landscape of the NFL.
Do they start that trend
this Devin. Is my point, though. This is the sweet spot, though, right? Because I feel like in every negotiation, especially if there's good history, the relationship seems like it works. And sometimes in negotiations, the relationship, the dynamic of the relationship changes, right? Because a player wants something or an employee wants something, mm-hmm. and the employer's like, I ain't giving that to you. And then I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's not about the money anymore. It becomes about principle. And to me, it's the same kind of thing with representation. Oh, get representation. Get an agent. And Lamar's like, I'm not getting an agent. Seems like he's a person of principle.
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying that's enough to say, hey, if y'all don't give me what I want, I'm not going to play? Like, if you didn't get what you want, would you not play?
Not me, no. But I think for a guy like him, I think he's going to run and see how long this road goes. I think eventually he will play. I think because no matter what, he comes from humble beginnings. He understands, like, let's not leave money on the table. Now, he's going to do different tactics and try to figure out a way to get the max amount of money, the max of his worth. But I think eventually he will play. But I think, you know, for him to take this as long as it has gone, you know, 2 years ago, he played for $1.7 million.
Hmm.
If it wasn't principal and it was just money, he would have sat out that year and said, I just want my money. But I think for him, there was a principal, a part of this of, if I do play this out and I get to free agency and I get an opportunity to now cash in, I want to cash in. And I think we've seen that. And he's doing everything he can to try to max out that value.
Devin McCourty with us, 3-time Super Bowl champion. Patriots.
Oh,
Patriots.
God.
Here we go. He knows. I'm champing at the bit about this one. Look.
I just want you to know,
before
he starts, he's going to go.
It's always a good day when we talk Patriots.
I'm not scared to look at even
Devin,
the greatest of all time.
Hey, now, Devin, he's no, about see, to go as dark as me and you. Okay?
So, Bill Belichick is probably the greatest coach in the history of the NFL.
Definitely.
I would say once upon a time it was definitely, And then Brady left, and it's like, well, what you going to do without the GOAT?
What is anybody going to do without a great quarterback?
Well, okay, Bill Parcells won wherever he went. Andy Reid won in multiple places, right?
Andy Reid, Donovan McNabb, and Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, but he's the GM. Go get your quarterback. Lamar Jackson's available.
Get him.
Matt
get him,
Stafford
Devin.
Was available. Aaron Rodgers was available. He wound up. He instead
Aaron
of all
Rodgers
those
has one Super Bowl.
But let's not make an excuse of quarterbacks. He has the quarterback he has. He drafted him. He buys the groceries. He cooks the food. He's the GM and the coach.
And that quarterback's rookie year, they went to the playoffs.
Did they win a playoff game?
No, they went to the playoffs.
I'm talking to Devin McCourty.
I know, but you're saying stuff that just drives me crazy.
Bill Belichick is entering season 10 in his career as a head coach without Tom Brady. One playoff win. He's now in year 4 with the Patriots without Tom Brady. Is the expectation now that he wins one measly playoff game in 4 years without Brady, 2-10 without him? Can he do that?
I just think it's interesting because Bill has entered a stratosphere that no one else will enter. We judge a guy on how many games he's won since Tom. And there's other teams, when that franchise that has a quarterback, Peyton Manning, the Phillip Rivers, like so many of these organizations went straight nosedive until they ended up with a top 3 to 5 pick. And that was the only way they turned it around. This team has never been bad enough to draft in the top 5. So you say find a quarterback. Usually we say if you draft a quarterback mid-first round, you don't have a guy. That's what people usually say. You got to draft a quarterback usually in the top 3 to 5 picks, they say.
But, Devin, there's been a trade market available for quarterbacks the last since Brady left.
But, Max, how do you
quarterbacks are flying all over the league. He got the dude he got.
But
that's
Max,
on him.
How do you handle the point, though, Max, that Devin's making about the fact that they've always been
above he's a victim
average?
Of, look, Belichick
they
can't.
They've always been above 500
Belichick
to a degree.
Belichick can't. Stink. Like, he can't because he's too good a coach. I get it. So he's going to be competitive. My point is there are other ways to do it. You just got to draft the guy. There are all these excellent quarterbacks who've switched
teams. But
then
you're only good for a couple years, which we've seen. We've never seen a team other than the Patriots continue to be great for 20 years. What teams have we watched?
Well, since they had Brady, they were great all those years. As soon as he left, I can't.
I'm sorry.
You have to balance that out. So, he could go and say, you know what? I'll go get Aaron Rodgers. And then in 3 years, we'll be back saying, you know, they only won because they went and got Aaron Rodgers. We wouldn't say that's a great move. We'll say they only won, and now they stink again.
So wait, are you arguing because now he's now 2 games under 500, huge sample size, 72-74 as a head coach without Tom Brady, and I'm including the Matt Cassel year, which pumps it up. Otherwise, he's a lot worse than that. So he's under 500 in a huge sample as a head coach without Brady, and you're telling me that the reason he shouldn't get a good quarterback is because then he won't get credit?
No,
so he should stay with a mediocre quarterback mediocre?
You have to be patient to build a team up that you want to have sustained success. Right. And I think that's what they're doing. Now you have a guy like Mac Jones. Yes, I will agree with everybody. Last year, the experiment on offense was a bad decision. I think there's nothing else around that. But if we have an offensive coordinator last year, we actually have a chance to be a good football team and compete in the
AFC. You
got
one this year?
Yeah, I definitely think
so. Therefore, you're going to win a playoff game this year, right? Because it's year 4 without Brady. No playoff wins.
It's going to be tough now.
It's going to be tough.
It's tough for everybody. Exactly. If you ask me, I'm picking the Patriots. I like what they have. I think they have an opportunity. They return everybody on defense except me. You replace one guy on defense, you get an offensive coordinator, you make some different moves, you get Juju, you get Mike Gesicki. You got a chance now to compete.
Can I mention one thing?
Go ahead.
The Giants are in a division with Dak Prescott and Jalen Hurts. Brian Daboll been a head coach for 1 year. Got as many playoff wins as Bill Belichick.
Real quick.
Max,
is Mac Jones or Bailey Zappi the guy?
I think it'll be Mac Jones. Mac Jones will be the guy.
Devin McCourty. Well, are you sure?
Am I sure what they will do? You never know what will happen. But sitting right here, March 28th, I think Mac Jones will be the guy.
Mm. Okay. And
I told you he was
going
to go real dark, man.
Yes, playoff win. All right, good.
But, playoff wins in New England doesn't matter if you win one playoff game. It's different.
I'm trying to lower the standard for Belichick because everyone's telling me you need to lower the standard now because Brady's not different.
So everyone is not telling you that.
But let's raise it. Say he's got to win a Super Bowl.
Everybody's not telling you that, Max. You're telling yourself that.
Okay, fine. Then let's make it a Super Bowl. They're going to win the Super Bowl this year?
At the end of the day, they're probably not going to win the Super Bowl. But I can guarantee you, like I said, bringing Bill O'Brien in and Devin McCourty was on the team. I wasn't on the team. It was a disaster.
Okay.
Joe Judge okay. And Matt Patricia running a damn offense.
We'll see if like, the end of the career he got a Super Bowl win without Tom Brady. We'll see.
Hey, but wait, real quick though, Devin.
See,
we done had two players on this show today from New England. Okay? Countless Pro Bowls, Super Bowl championships, along with all pros. Two guys, you and Teddy Bruschi. And all Max keep talking about is Bill Belichick can't win without Tom Brady, as if Tom Brady was the only guy on the whole damn team. Drives me nuts.
Well, but I didn't think so. I thought he was the greatest coach of all time. I just noticing that he can't seem to win a playoff game without Brady. Thank you, Devin McCourty. Charles Barkley said that Kevin Durant was very sensitive. Maybe not as sensitive as Key is about Belichick, but very sensitive. And added that he's, quote, part of a generation who thinks they can't be criticized. Oh, is he right?
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Kevin Durant responded to Charles Barkley's criticism on 60 Minutes. Listen to Charles Barkley, Pro Basketball Hall of Famer, and most charismatic, beloved athlete talking since probably Muhammad Ali, right? Here's Charles Barkley.
He's very sensitive, great player. He's part of that generation who think he can't be criticized. He's never looked in the mirror and says, man, was that a fair criticism?
We're in agreement. Today's players are a little more sensitive to criticism than your
generation.
That would
be an understatement.
So KD got back at Chuck, tweeted,
what?
Still this ain't getting back. Tired, Chuck. I'll never respect the words that come out of your mouth, fam. Just deal with it. Look, here's the thing. Charles Barkley, whatever you say about him or think about him, he will tell you what's on his mind. And he's always been that way. And KD, who I think, I want to be very clear, is an interesting guy, as Hannibal Lecter said in one of those Silence of the Lambs movies, the world is more interesting with him in it. I'm glad Kevin Durant exists. He makes the world in the sports world more interesting. But he is a guy who had a burner account on social media. Right? Like, that's a fact. And is he sensitive? He's kind of proving Chuck's point when he responds on Twitter.
Stop.
Hey, Key, what do you think about all this?
I don't know that he's sensitive, but what I would say, is why even be paying attention to it, though? Like,
sensitive.
I mean, I guess when you pay attention to it, you're sensitive. I guess that's why it is. I'm Kevin Durant. I could care less about what Charles Barkley is saying. Really, I can. But I guess guys feel like they need to say something back. I mean, that's what he feels, I guess. What are you looking like that for, Jay?
Yeah, can I drop the hammer on all y'all?
Yeah, I really want – yeah, go ahead.
The epitome of winning. The epitome of toughness, the epitome of the best ever, MJ. Charles Barkley criticized MJ.
Well,
MJ hasn't
anymore.
Talked to Charles Barkley ass since.
Yeah, they're not friends.
So, I'm sorry, what generation was MJ from?
Oh, you're objecting to his generational categorization.
1,000%. This is how players live. We're built this way.
Every generation has your more and less sensitive players. Right.
Like, yeah. And you could say, well, now players can hear it more than ever because of social media, and players are raised through the lens of social media, so more people have access to them and they react more. But let's stop acting like players weren't always sensitive. The greatest player of all time, Max, your guy.
Mm-hmm.
The toughest guy, the most mentally strong,
little sensitive.
Is sensitive towards little Charles Barkley saying he's a horrible GM and owner. Get out of here, Chuck, on that. And I love Chuck as my dude. It's not a generational thing. It's just the way it is.
So let me ask
you. Yeah, I said that
hammer, man.
On our call yesterday. I don't think it has anything to do with being a generational guy.
I'm out.
Because
it just defeats everything that everybody says. Jay is claiming the toughest of all time. You know, like I got it. Oh, he's sensitive.
Hey, are you Gen X technically, Jay?
No, I'm millennial.
See, I think a key. I noticed this. I think you're a little sensitive.
Oh God.
About
who, Jay?
Yeah, Jay. Oh, about his generation. See, you hear this. What I hear and what Key heard is a dispute between two players, one claiming the other's sensitive, one dude's a little less sensitive than the other. What you heard, in my view, is one generation criticizing another generation, and that's a generation that you belong to, right?
Well, that's not what I – yeah, it's what I heard because that's what he said.
He did. That's part of what he said.
Yeah, can we play back the sound again so we can actually hear what he said?
Like I said before – whether it was this generation or Barkley and Jordan's generation, the player's going to be who the player is. That personality is going to be who that personality is, no matter what generation it is.
Exactly.
That's just the reality of it. It has nothing to do with social media and the heightened of more media. It has nothing to do with that because Charles Barkley was going to throw somebody through a window, whether it was today. Yeah. Or 30 years
ago. But it wouldn't have been in the metaverse either. He'd have really done it in the real world. Yeah, through a window.
I got to push back on your social media because you're not on social media and I am. I'm trying to tell you the way a lot of younger players are in today's game, they hear a lot more noise and they end up responding to a lot more noise because they like talking trash back and people take that as them being sensitive. But that doesn't mean that they're sensitive.
But at the same time, Jay.
I know I am.
Jay, I'm not a sensitive person at all whatsoever. But I used to check reporters when they said something in the newspaper and they got it wrong.
We're on the same page.
Hey, let me say this real quick.
I'm not a sensitive dude. I'm just going to put you in your place because you don't know what you're talking
about. Before we get out of here, let me say this real thing. I want to reconcile what you two are saying. You're saying the same thing.
Yes.
You're saying that within each generation, you have different types of personalities, some more, some less sensitive. I do think that every previous generation looks at the way technology affects the new generation and claims that now these kids are different than we were. But that was true of the baby boomers talking about Gen X. This is true every generation. The previous one points to, especially in the last few centuries, technology and says, aha, it's changing the generation. And of course it has some impact. But personalities are personalities, man. Chuck was going to be who he was in any era.
Jay, I need you to help me with my phone. I don't know how to.
Hey, Jim, coming up.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.